A teenage boy had just passed his driving test and asked his dad about when he could begin to use the family car. His father said, "Let's make a deal. You bring your grades up from a C to a B average, study your Bible every day, and get your hair cut. And then we'll talk about the car." The boy thought about it for a moment and decided he'd settle on the offer, and they agreed to it. 6 weeks later, his father said, "Son, you've brought your grades up, and I've observed that you've been reading your Bible every day, but I'm disappointed you haven't cut your hair yet." The boy said, "You know, Dad, I've been thinking about that, and I've noticed in my studies of the Bible that Samson had long hair. John the Baptist had long hair. Moses had long hair, and there's even strong evidence that Jesus had long hair." And his dad replied, "And did you also notice that they all walked everywhere they went?" So today let's talk about one of those fellows listed who had long hair, and that's St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist was a wild man. He was a radical out in the desert, and he was the first prophet in over 450 years. So there was great excitement when John the Baptist came on the scene. Again, the Jewish people had not had a prophet in over 400 years. And so we read in Matthew's gospel that it was of him that the prophet Isaiah had written that this John would be a voice crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord." So notice, John is the voice, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So to prepare ourselves for the Word, we first hear the voice of one crying out in the desert. John was the best man, Jesus the bridegroom. The best man is to prepare things for the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom of our souls. He is our beloved. John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for the coming of the bridegroom. Christ would be the king. Before any king would come into a foreign country, what would you have? You would have a herald that would announce the coming of the king. And it says John the Baptist was the herald who announced the coming of the king. The role of John the Baptist is really what the church is doing today during Advent. The church during these 4 weeks of Advent is calling us to prepare the way for the Lord in our hearts. And so John the Baptist is one of the great saints of Advent. And notice there are really three things that John talks about in today's gospel. First, the first thing he says is, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So that's the first thing we need to do, is to repent. What does the word repent mean? It means to turn away from sin and to turn towards God. To turn away from sin and reorient ourselves to Almighty God. So it means to give up sin. So first is to repent of our sins. That's at the very beginning of the message of John the Baptist, the very beginning of Jesus' message. The first thing that both of them said were, repent and turn away from sin and turn your life around toward God. And notice, John was living a life of penance. John was wearing camel's hair garment. A camel hair garment would be very penitential, very painful. It'd be like wearing a burlap sack. Or, as you know, many of the saints wore hair shirts underneath their garments as a way of doing penance, because it would always scratch and itch them underneath their garments. St. Thomas More, even though he was the Lord Chancellor of all of England, a great lawyer and a great judge, underneath his royal robes, he wore a hair shirt to do penance for the sins of others. And in fact, by the way, until March, there's an exhibit on the life and the writings of St. Thomas More in Washington, D.C., right across from the National Shrine and Catholic University, is a place called the John Paul II Shrine. I hope all of you have visited there already. They have the greatest shrine of St. John Paul II in the United States, with hundreds of artifacts of things that John Paul II wore. That's all on the lower level. But on the top level, they have different exhibits that they bring in, and one of them, between now and March, is the exhibit of St. Thomas More. And they brought over hundreds of artifacts from museums and churches in England, and you can see some of these things that were used by St. Thomas More. And, of course, one of them, I believe, is a piece of the hair short that he wore. But the idea was that John the Baptist did penance, and then it says he wore a leather belt, he ate locusts and wild honey, so I guess that's where he got his protein and his carbs, so from the locusts and the wild honey. But it also was very penitential. So he was out in the desert preaching people to come to repentance. And notice how he dressed. He dressed exactly as Elijah the prophet had dressed in the Old Testament, with the leather belt and the camel hair garment. And because John the Baptist was the new Elijah, he was the man who came in the spirit and power of Elijah to prepare the way for the Lord. So he lived in poverty, simplicity, austerity, and penance, calling people to conversion. And then the second thing he did was he baptized people, and people made their confession of their sins. They acknowledged their sins before everyone. And so this baptism was not yet the sacrament of baptism. Jesus would establish that. This was a forerunner to that. It was a baptism calling people to repentance. And when the people got baptized, he would pour water over them. They would confess their sins out loud. How would you like to do that? And probably we wouldn't. We're so blessed that we can go into the privacy of a confessional and in the sacrament of confession, have our sins absolved in complete confidentiality and complete privacy. Back then, before the sacrament was established, people confessed their sins out loud. I remember reading the life of Father Damien the leper. Some of you have heard of him. Father Damien, the Belgian priest who went to Hawaii, to the island of Molokai, where there was a leper colony. And Father Damien worked there until his death at the young age of 49. He himself contracted leprosy by taking care of these poor souls, these poor lepers. But the only way he could go to confession, since he was the only priest on the island, was when a ship came by, but the ships would never come on shore because they did not want to contract leprosy. And they were so fearful of that. So if a visiting priest was on a ship, maybe 50 yards away or 100 yards away, Father Damien would shout his sins out so that he could receive absolution. That's how much he wanted to be able to go to confession, to have his sins absolved in the holy sacrament of confession. And yet we have it so much easier. We can go into the confessional and in the privacy of confession, confess our sins out loud to Jesus, represented by the priest. We have confessions every Monday morning, Wednesday night, and Saturday afternoon. And make sure during Advent that you make a good Advent confession to prepare your soul for Christ at Christmas. And I would certainly recommend the Advent Penance Service coming up in a few weeks, where we bring in about a dozen priests from around the diocese. And one night we'll have, you know, a dozen priests to be able to help hear the confessions here at St. Mary's. So take advantage of that really easy opportunity to go to confession before Christmas. And lastly, the third thing that we see in today's gospel, besides John calling us to repentance and then their confession of their sins, the last thing he says to the scribes and Pharisees is that you have to produce good fruit. He warns them. He says, "Who warned you of this? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance." What is the good fruit? He even says the tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And then John talks about the coming judgment, where it says he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. The wheat is referring to those that are saved, and the barn is referring to heaven. But the chaff, those that will lose their souls, it says, will burn in unquenchable fire. That's referring to hell. So John reminds us of the reality of heaven, the reality of hell, that these places are real. Ultimately, we'll wind up in one of those two places. But if we repent, turn our lives over to God, go to confession, and bear good fruit, then we look forward to being gathered into the barn in the kingdom of heaven, to be gathered by Christ and be taken into heaven. So what is this good fruit that the Lord is talking about, and John is talking about? The fruit is holiness, it's virtue, it's goodness, it's works of mercy, it's compassion, it's forgiveness, it's love, faith, hope, charity. Those are the good fruits that we're called to develop in our lives by God's grace. So that's what we can take, I think, from today's gospel, that the church during the season of Advent is like John the Baptist, calling all of us to repent of our sins, to confess our sins, and to bear good fruit, so that when the Lord comes at Christmas, we may be ready to meet him.